and chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians in our Bible. We've been looking at the mysteries in our Sunday morning services, and I wanted to continue on with what C.I. Schofield listed as mystery number 6 and number 7 for the mysteries of God's Word. What a tremendous thing, again, that we have God's Word. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke things again after, again, his presentation of himself to the nation of Israel and his rejection. We have a new covenant, a new relationship. And this, as is said several times in scriptures, is hidden from ages past. And we get to look at it now. And so these are called mysteries. There's 12 of them specifically called out in our Bible. But again, there are things that happen in this period that we're in right now called the church age. And so appreciate again as we study these things, each of them is important, and many of them are misunderstood by the world, yea, are misunderstood by quote, air quote, Christians, and are misunderstood by the church again and orthodoxy. And so we appreciate again that the Bible is clear on these things. And many times there's false teachings and false teachers abounding in these mysteries that are given to us. And so let's go ahead and look at this one, beginning in Colossians. And I wrote down here 2:25 through 29, but I think I meant chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. It was kind of early in this morning when I wrote that number down, and so I missed it. Colossians chapter 1. Let's go ahead and start in verse 20, and just pick a couple verses out here that we want to read and emphasize where we are at in revealing the mysteries that God has laid out for this age that we live in. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. To be reconciled again is to be brought together in friendship and again with no barriers in between. And so praise the Lord. I trust you're reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning, and this what this is written to. Look at verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, Paul says, and filled up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So we're talking about the church and the church age that we are in. And look what it says in verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And then it's got a semicolon, verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles. Again, a semicolon. And then here it is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So notice again here that once we are reconciled, it is the mystery that's revealed here is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28 says, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for his clear teaching about these mysteries that you, your Son, has unfolded to us, that we could again better understand our situation, our future, and our relationship with you. And I pray that you touch and bless your words this morning in that light. In the name of Christ we pray, and amen, amen. So as we look here at this first mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the first that we're looking at tonight, we've already looked at several of the mysteries that are unfolded, the mystery of the gospel. We've looked at the mystery of the kingdom of God. We've looked at the mystery of the church being one body that includes Jew and Gentile alike. As we're working through these mysteries, they're not necessarily in a prioritized order at all. This one here, if it was, this is a big one here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so as we look at that, according to the dispensation of God, it says there in verse 25, I must again, as we hit that, put a little emphasis on the fact that we are dispensationalists. We believe the Bible teaches seven dispensations here. And the Bible is pretty clear and makes those divisions so obvious that again, they could be seen by any Bible student with anyone teaching. They don't need a church to come down and declare it to them. It's clearly divided in the Bible. Paul said to young Timothy, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, we want to do that. He said, study to show yourself a servant of God and worthy again. And so as we rightly divide the word of truth, we find that there's different things in different periods of time where God gave a dispensation. Don't be scared of that word. It is, again, the same thing as a stewardship. In other words, in a stewardship, God leaves some commands for stewards to do. We see several examples of that in Jesus' parables. And there's going to be a test period where they're in charge of what God has given them stewardship of. And then there's a end result where the master returns and said, okay, what did you do during that time period? And so that's called a dispensation, a period of time when God sets some rules or guidelines, and we find them unfolded clearly in the Bible. And here, very clearly, we're talking about this period of time is a dispensation that we're in, the church age, the age of grace, it's been called. A time when, again, the neat thing about that is it has a beginning. A lot of Baptists fighting and arguing about when it began. But we know it began after Christ said, I will build my church. That's future. And we know, again, it comes when the Holy Spirit of God pours out his Spirit upon the church, and they then are baptized into Christ. You can't be baptized into Christ, but what the Holy Spirit of God that does the baptizing, there's no water involved in this. He baptizes them into Christ. And so most certainly it happened there at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit of God came down and again baptized believers into the body of Christ at that time. And we have been baptized into the body of Christ at our new birth ever since. And so here we are 2,000 years later, and you're part of the body of Christ. We are, look at the miracle here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so when we look at that, we ask Christ, dealing in young people's church, junior church, and working with junior church workers again for 20 years. We explain again that when you're leading someone to Christ, remember you're asking a person to ask Jesus Christ into their heart. You're asking the Lord to come into your life. And that's not estranged from what the Bible says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open unto me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me, the Bible says. And so that's one of the illustrations of being saved, of being born again, of being converted to Christ. And all of those, again, entail the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ himself moves into us and dwells in us, and we are baptized, wholly immersed into Christ. And so that's the mystery that Paul's speaking of here. And that is, again, in this dispensation that we live in. We've looked at now Colossians 1:26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages. And that, again, is speaking about the dispensations, the times, again, of coming. And we are in a new relationship now in the New Testament church age. But now is made manifest to his saints. And again, we see again the perfect thing here, that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. What a miraculous thing. Galatians 2:20, I'm sure most of you know what this says. If I give you the gist of it, you'll be able to finish it. We learned this as teenagers in song, and it sounded like this. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. For the last half of the verse says this, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. Christ in you and you in Christ. And so when we look at that, well, I want to marvel in that just a little bit and understand that as the mystery that's revealed there by Paul. We already looked at 1:21, again, that we are reconciled. What a tremendous thing to be reconciled. But let me always tag on with that verse, verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that is so, if you read on, so that you could be a minister of reconciliation. That's given to every one of us. You don't have to be a gospel minister. You have to be a gospel minister, okay? It doesn't mean you're a pastor. It doesn't mean you're a preacher. It doesn't mean you're an evangelist. It means you're doing all of those things, again, to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, to promote the Lord Jesus Christ, to point to the Lord Jesus Christ, and again, to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do, and we're to be ministers of that same reconciliation. And so, again, as we look at that, we find, again, that that's Christ in you and you in Christ. And then the next mystery, again, kind of relates to that almost directly. If you put it this way, the next mystery, again, is that God is in Christ, and Christ is in God. And so see the relationship between them. That God is in Christ, and Christ is in God. And so that's the mystery, as it's worded there by Scofield, that says this, the mystery of God being even Christ. Christ as the incarnate fullness of the Godhead embodied, in whom all divine wisdom subsists. All divine wisdom for man subsists, or it exists in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that mystery being, again, that the Lord Jesus Christ is fully God. We listened to Charlie Clark preach last night. I love Brother Clark. And in his message there, he preached, he mentioned again that when he was driving out of New York City recently, there's a great big sign that says, Christ is not God. And then a little further out, there's another great big huge sign that says, Jesus is not God. And so again, there's people attacking this teaching, but I can go ahead and tell you, I got me a Bible and it says, Christ is God and God is Christ. And so again, nail it down because it's under attack. The Muslims hate that teaching. Even the Orthodox Jews hate that teaching. And so again, we as Christians know that we, where do we have a bumper sticker on our, I guess it's off to the junkyard now. We had a bumper sticker on our car that says, in God we trust. And his name is Jesus Christ again. And so that's the God that we trust in as Christians, and that's why we have that name. And so here, this mystery again, that God is Christ, and Christ is God is in Christ, and Christ is in God. And we'll look at a verse in a minute here, but according to, I flip notes here. According to, again, God's word, we understand in Christ. Look at chapter 2 and verse 9. Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 9. Let me catch the richness of this explanation. This is also part of the mystery that Paul is going on about. And he words it very succinctly in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him, that's our Lord Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Is that what your Bible says? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Listen, that's the close of the argument right there, that he is God, and in him is all the fullness of the whole Godhead fully, notice again, bodily. And look at verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And so when Christ rose from the tomb, he again had a resurrected body. When he ascended up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God the Father, he prayed in John 17 and said, Lord, restore unto me all that I had before, and all the glory that I had before being made flesh and dwelling amongst men. And so God did that and restored him. And presently right now, remember in Matthew 28, what did he say? All power is given unto me. All power is given unto me. Remember Colossians, that all things are put under him. Remember in Ephesians where it says that, hey, he has been made all things because in him all things consist, and in him all things are going to be brought together in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Look back to Colossians chapter 2, the beginning here. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them of Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. It's interesting, again, when you look at the Laodicean, I say often that we're in the Laodicean church age, and there's no book written to the Laodiceans. He says that there was a letter, and make sure the Laodicean church gets it as well. But here again, we see a reference to this Laodicean church. Make sure they get it. And here we're in a church age that we call the Laodicean church age. Verse 2 then says this, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We're almost out of time, so let's look quickly back to two places. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 first. Romans and chapter 8. Wow, I love this chapter. I almost read you the whole thing. But for time's sake, I'm going to give it an assignment that you read Romans chapter 8 one more time and watch the wonder of it all. Look at Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now, again, remember where we're at. He's just walked through the whole salvation process. And he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. And I underlined the in here. Who are in Christ Jesus. And then, again, the emphasis here, again, there's no condemnation, praise the Lord. I almost included that with John 5, 24. That said, hey, there's no condemnation. With John 3, 17, that says, again, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved from what? The next verse says that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so notice here again that once you are saved, you're saved from condemnation. For a long time I've taught and been taught that, hey, we're saved from our sin. But boy, I'll tell you what, sin still has power over our lives. Sin can still get a grip on us, a vice grip, as it were. And there's five vices again. I've mentioned them several times from the pulpit. www.df, if I remember right again. Wine, women, and weed. These are the ones taught in the military and used in the military and dispersed openly in the military and now dispersed openly in New York State. Wine, women, and weed. And again, the others would be drugs and gambling. DG, that was the last two. The use of drugs. Commonly accepted as a vice in the Word of God. It gets a hold on your life and clamps down. And listen, it takes the power of God to break us free from those things. And so again, to understand that, hey, we're free from condemnation and we can be free from those sins. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I didn't read the last part of verse 1. Let's look at it again. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. The last clause says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so, listen, you are not under condemnation if you walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now stop right there and let me illustrate this and make sure we get a handle on this. You'll be confronted with this probably by some people that says, again, how do you get free from condemnation? Here's how you do it. You walk not after the flesh. No, 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 no. That's not it at all. We don't get free from condemnation by cleaning up our lives, by walking right, by thinking right, by doing right, and by walking after the Spirit of God. No, those are fruits that come to us. And so again, understand that we are under no condemnation when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. He comes in and he justifies us. He comes in and he quickens us. He comes into our life and he baptizes us into the body of Christ. He comes into our life and he indwells us. And that's the emphasis that's in this chapter. Look at a couple more. Look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And then it goes on. Look at verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And here's another if so be. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. How do you get the Spirit of God to dwell in you? You're born again. You're converted to Christ. You got saved from your condemnation of sin. And then the Spirit of God dwells in you. One more. Look at verse 16. This whole chapter is good. It should be preached succinctly. I have done it here before. And would just highlight these verses. Verse 16 says this. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Praise the Lord, how important that is. Praise the Lord, when we pillow our head at night, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It goes on, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And so again, we see these things happening again in us, and understand that it is Christ in me, and me in Christ, and that Christ and God are the same. Let's look at one more, just to punctuate this. John chapter 17. If you're familiar with the Gospel of John, you know that John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Lots of people call something else the Lord's Prayer, and I don't. I call John 17 the Lord's Prayer. This is what the Lord prayed. And again, in Matthew chapter 6, he gives a model prayer to his disciples, but this is the Lord's Prayer indeed. Look with me. Look at first at verse 5. I hit this, and I want to remind it one more time. Look at John 17 and verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And so there's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a created being. Joseph Smith, be gone. He's wrong again. He's not a created being. Charles Taz Russell, be gone. False teachers, liars, deceivers. And so here again, he says that he's restored to the glory he had before the world was, and that's after his resurrection, and here it is in the Lord's Prayer. Look with me at verse 21 and verse down through 23, I guess. Let's back up one to verse 20. John 17 and verse 20 says this, neither pray I for these alone, his disciples, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's me, okay? That's you and I. That's where we fall into the Lord's Prayer here. Look what it says of us. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Is that what your Bible says? That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, and they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The fact that when you get saved, you are indwelt by the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact, if you read down that Psalms or Romans chapter 8, you'll find that the Holy Spirit indwells you, God the Father that raised up the Son indwells you, and God the Son indwells you. That we are indwelt by the Godhead completely because, again, of our salvation. And the second thing we see, that we are placed into Christ, into the body of Christ. And the church, again, is the body of Christ. And so we have a position in Christ. We've preached about that often here as well. Again, to understand this, boy, I don't want you to miss it, that not only are you in Christ and Christ in you, but Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he has got all wisdom and all knowledge. We just read the verses. And so that one that's indwelling you has all wisdom and all knowledge. I have occasion to counsel people. I just went through again, the Bridge to Recovery counseling series, talking about how to handle addictions. And I emphasized this as best I could over and over each time we looked at it, that if you're a born-again Christian, you've got a counselor on board, that you have your own counselor. It's good to have a pastor. I'll have to mention that on my way by. And the Bible commands that you have a pastor, and that you take counsel from him. But again, the big deal is that you've got a counselor on board. And you can make a session with, just schedule a session with your counselor and have a sit down and talk with your counselor, because he's on board. He indwells you. And so we have two mysteries revealed here. First one, that is that Christ is in me. And secondly, is that I am in Christ. And thirdly, the second part of that mystery is given, that all the fullness of the Godhead is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's in me. Again, let me add that on there. And again, all the wisdom and knowledge of God is in that Christ, and I am in him. And so those, again, that's a tremendous miracle. And I just sat around a little bit this week just meditating on that and saying, that's awesome. And sometimes we don't think about it nearly enough. Let me tell it again. Sometimes we don't think about this nearly enough, that we would again recognize that Jesus Christ said, I want them to be one with me as I am one with you. Did we cover what Sela meant? Go figure. Ponder that. Think about that this week. Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you again, Father, that we could just get a glimpse at some of these verses that try to explain a mystery. And Father, thank you again that it's still got a supernatural element that we'll never comprehend until we see you face to face, it says. And so I'll praise you again and thank you, Father, for helping us this week even to ponder our relationship with you and our oneness with you. And we'll praise you and thank you that we could remember that and live that in this week that we begin this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and we'll dismiss. It's 85 in here. So take deep breaths, drink lots of fluids, and sing this song. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I shout and sing. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you for being in church this morning. I've heard that poem before.
Y'all have a great week.
All right, Lord, bless your grace.
Are they supposed to come home after today?
They're thinking after they get an MRI, they won't see any results until tomorrow, so he should be coming home.